Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. And today we are talking about balancing our focus between knowing God and knowing ourselves. When we start to realize if we neglect one or the other, we are cheating ourselves of both. We start accepting that some of the things that we've been kind of avoiding in our lives, we've been paying that price for it. When we look at, again, how we're made as spirit, soul, and body, if we neglect any of that as far as dealing with what God wants us to deal with, we are preventing God's full flow through us as a single whole being, spirit, soul, and body, one person, a new creation, something that didn't exist before. So we want to, if you have that belief, which many Christians do, not all, but many, that spending time reflecting on your past, your wounds, your history, your mistakes, that what I often hear is there is the whole, well, that's under the blood, or that's been crucified, that was the old man. The problem is that was part of your soul and not your spirit. And what has become new is not your soul. What do I mean by that? When you became a new creature, a new creation, you were reborn spiritually, but not soulically, and not physically. Remember your spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit, that which is born of the spirit, is spirit. You were re-inspirited. But the same soul that you had before you became a Christian is the soul you have after you become a Christian. The same body you had before you became a Christian is the same body you have after you become a Christian. Does God make sovereign changes in us? Does he provide healing, revelation, change in our soul and our body at the time of salvation? Absolutely. And before salvation? Absolutely. After salvation? Absolutely. But that is him acting upon your soul and acting upon your body. Once you've been re-spirited, a new spirit, once you've been enlivened, that spirit within you as a spirit being now begins to work on all areas where your soul needs to be brought into alignment with your spirit. And over time, your body as well. But when we think that, okay, everything that happened before a certain point in time doesn't matter, we are being robbed of redeeming that time or recovering, reliving, renewing that which has come before. It's sort of like thinking of when Jesus was crucified on the cross. and paid for the sins of the world, did he only pay for the sins of those who hadn't been born yet? Or all the sins that happened, occurred after he came and after he was resurrected? Or did he pay for all the sin of everyone who had come before as well? And if not, why was there a promise? Why wasn't it counted to the so-called spiritual fathers, Abraham and Moses, counted them to them as righteousness for believing that there would be a Messiah, that there would be a Savior who would free them from their sins, not just their sins of action, but their sin nature? Why was that even encouraged in them if it didn't come to pass? For each one of us, part of our salvation experience is joining Jesus Christ through that experience 2,000 years ago, where he changed history, not only coming history, but his present and his past as well. All past. All time changed. When you experience that at a certain point in your life, all of your time changes as well. And we very often work on our present situation and our present circumstances. And we want to get better at certain things and overcome certain things in our future. And these things can be kind of overwhelming and can take up our time and our attention. And unfortunately, that makes it easy to neglect our past, history, our past wounding, our past beliefs. So we are simply wanting, we're not saying, okay, this is a certain, there's a certain amount of time that you need to spend with God regarding your past. That's not the case. Our goal is that if God draws your attention to something that happened in the past, or a wound that you've been carrying around, or a lie about yourself or about others that he wants to deal with, don't neglect it. What that does, neglecting what he wants to draw our attention to, basically, we're disagreeing with God. If he says, you've been walking with a limp in this area, and I want to heal you, but first we have to go back and clean that wound. And that wound needs to be healed back then. And this is something we've talked so many times about, the nature of time. You, as a spirit being, have authority over time. And you can actually go back. This is something God will teach you how to do. You can go back into your history and be healed at that moment. And that healing can travel throughout your past and free you from things. Don't try to understand some of these things. Just let God teach them to you, train you. We learn by experience. And yes, this all goes back to being able to hear his voice, recognize his voice, test it, and then respond. And what we're talking about isn't for everyone, because there's going to be things that God is talking to you about right now. Maybe it's not this. That's fine. The whole point being that don't discount an area of your life that God wants to talk to you about because others have planted critical or discounting ideas in your head. There's so much pressure for believers that once they become Christian, once they join a church or a movement or a belief system, that all your attention, all your focus has to be on, okay, what are you producing today? What are you doing today? What are you learning today? And because of that, that you and I can be crippled for the rest of our walk here on this earth because we have not dealt with the wounds, the rejection, the lies that we've developed in our past. There are some things that God just freezes from. Boom. And we didn't even know we believed that. Or it doesn't really matter if we nail down specifically what happened when to cause us to believe this about ourselves, you know, that we're not worthy, that we're just a sinner saved by grace. And that's really what it all comes down to, is the wounds you're carrying and the lies you're believing keep you from living now, from believing the truth about what God says about you now. If you believe, you know, and these things can be not even related to traumatic events or stupid mistakes or circumstances. These can even be related to what gender you are, what socioeconomic family you were born into, or a cultural tradition. Maybe you were born into a situation where the firstborn is the only one who matters. And that can be just as bad for the firstborn as for anybody else born into the family. But whatever it is, God wants to talk to you about it. Because the goal for him and for you as a spirit being is that you would be free, that you would be healed, that you would be whole, that you would be one and entire. You could be one being, spirit, soul, and body. And as that happens, as you find out about the wounds and the lies through that process, or maybe it goes the other way around, you will find out about how God made you in your soul. Now, again, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And how he put those together for you, that's your unique soul. It's something you have. It's not your identity. It's just as your physical appearance is not who you are. Your soul, how you think, how you choose, how you feel, that's not who you are either. Do they matter? Heck yeah. They matter so much that God wants you to take responsibility for taking care of your soul. Just as he wants you to take responsibility for taking care of your body. But he wants you to take responsibility for cleaning out the closets, for getting those wounds healed. And when we neglect our past, we leave enemies, we leave wounds behind those closed doors. They will come out at some point in time. And again, this is where we want to be sensitive to the timing of the Lord. We don't want to force an issue if it's not ready. And most of the time when he brings an issue to the forefront, it's like the tip of the iceberg. He's already dealt with 99% of it. But he wants to have us participate and be fully aware of the final portion of what he wants to do in our lives. So let's just stop and ask the Lord, Lord, is there any area in my life that you've been trying to draw my attention to for whatever reason, but especially in my past that I've been avoiding? I give you permission to do whatever it takes to draw my attention. I want to be healed there. I want to know the truth there. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to receive your truth in that area. Now, he may have just brought something to your memory. He may have shown you a feeling of rejection or emotion or a picture or a person. Right now, write that down. Or if you're driving, replay this. But plant it in your mind, in your thoughts. Remember that emotion. And then as soon as you get a chance, go spend some time with him. Lord, what do you want to say about this person? Lord, I sort of remember what happened, but it doesn't seem like it was a big deal. Why is it you want to talk to me about this? And start taking notes. Now, a lot of this is going to depend on how well you already know yourself, how well you already know how God put you together. Some are not very well versed at all, and others are quite accomplished at being able to see how previous wounds and previous beliefs tie in. Doesn't matter. God knows where you are. You don't have to catch up. You're right exactly where he wants you. This is not a surprise that this is what he wants to speak to you about. You're not late. This is the time that he has set to talk to you about these things. But again, why is it important to be able to talk to God about your past? Because if he can't deal with your past, you're not free to be here in the present. And you're not free to be in your future. Because they're all, your past, your present, and your future are all part of the same time. We all have, just as we all have 24 hours in a day, we all have a past, a present, and a future. If you neglect one of those, your future, your present, or your past, you're neglecting the authority God gave you to rule over time. Now, again, God is your trainer. He's your personal trainer. He will give you the exercises you need. He will draw your attention and to the circumstances. And we've talked many times about how very often the mountain that we keep on going around and around and can't overcome is because it's based in the past. And if we're being told, no, just, you know, move forward, you know, no navel gazing, don't look inward, you know, only look outward, that's where God is, Follow God, whether he takes you inward, outward, sideways, backwards, forwards, up, down, past, present, future, wherever. You follow him. He will prove himself trustworthy. Now, that's challenging. That can be difficult because it's time-consuming, for one thing. But when we start to realize that if we don't know our past, that is one of the ways, spending time knowing our past is one of the ways God reveals our soul to us. And through that process, we learn about our strengths, our weaknesses, and about our gifts, our tendencies, how God has already worked in our lives, and what God wants us, excuse me, what God wants us to do next. If we can learn by God teaching us to take ownership and responsibility and acknowledge the mistakes we've made and just see them, that's all they were. They were just mistakes. And take responsibility for the consequences and for the effect our mistakes and other people's mistakes have had on our lives. You know, maybe our circumstances were such that we now blame God. You know, we'll never be able to achieve anything. We'll never be happy in this world because God made me marry that person. Or I was born into this family or in this country. And if we believe that, we will never be able to enjoy what God has planted in our lives here on this earth. Now, that's fine. You'll have another chance in the next life. But if you're hearing this, this is because God wants you to work on it. And it is work, again. Now, there's a definite upside to all this. This isn't all about dwelling on the negatives and the hurts and the lies and the difficult circumstances and how we feel like we've lost everything now, which so many people have. But it also gives God an opportunity to show us our strengths, show how he has moved in our lives, reveal to us what we have already learned. For instance, as again, we learn to acknowledge and take responsibility for what we have inherited in him, that we are sons of God, that he has given us gifts and authority. And even without knowing it, you have exercised all those in your life. But God wants to show you. For instance, all believers are gifted of God. But not all believers accept or act on that reality. And those gifts are both in your soul and your body. For instance, in your physical body, whether you were taught that you have a heart doesn't mean you don't have a heart. It's operating to give you life right now, whether you know about it or not, whether you know how it works or where it's located. It's working. And you don't pay much attention to it unless it starts to give you trouble. And fortunately, many are becoming aware of it, about how your actions and decisions affect your health, your longevity of life, and the quality and enjoyment of your physical life. And we're learning that you have authority and are responsible for your body. Likewise, each of us is responsible for educating ourselves about our soul, about our temperament, about our gifts that dwell in our soul. Yeah, they're your gifts. They're not God's gifts. They're yours. Just as your blue eyes are your blue eyes, your body is yours, your soul is yours, and the gifts in your soul are yours. Though we are reborn as sons of God in our spirit, and we are co-inheritors with him, part of our job, part of our life, our training, is to accept the responsibility for learning to use the gifts that we have, that are ours. We are learning to accept responsibility and sometimes accepting credit for our own relationship with God and how He works in and through us. And we are also challenged to deal with our individual temperaments, strengths, and weakness. The way God put you together, He gave you those gifts. And very often, we need to distinguish between a strength of our temperament and a supernatural gift. If you don't know what your temperament is, how are you going to do that? Remember that God gave you the temperament He wanted you to have. And one of our goals is we learn to move in the supernatural realm, move in the gifts, learn to hear Him in the supernatural realm. One of our goals is to be able to overcome the interference of our soul, of our temperament, and distinguish more easily what is our temperament and what is a solical gift. And again, what we have is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Your mind is what you think and what you believe. Your will is what we choose and what we do. And your emotions are what you feel. And in each one of those areas, regardless of your temperament, you have strengths and weaknesses, roadblocks, and stability. In your mind, God gives us understanding and wisdom despite our temperament, not because of it. In our will, God calls us to act despite our temperament, not because of it. And in our emotions, God motivates us with compassion and desire despite our temperament, not because of it. I love how Paul, being a Jew, was called to go to the Gentiles. So he would not be motivated by his natural compassion for his people. It caused him some problems, but he struggled through. And God wants to free your compassion so He can use it or not. God wants to free your mind so He can use it or not, so He can reveal things to you or hide things from you. And He wants to free your will so He can motivate you. And you won't be relying on your own motivation. He does things in a totally different way. But again, we see as we begin to really see how He has moved in our past, we are then free to be challenged to take more risks now. We see how God has taken care of us. We see how, though we've made mistakes, He turns things around. And what is one of those things we look for a dependent Christian? That sense of appreciation, that sense of acceptance, that sense of thank you, Lord. Not thank you, Lord, I can take it from here. Or thank you, Lord, now it's up to me to live up to that expectation, but just thank you. He knows what you need, and He wants to give it to you now. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend. We will be here again next Saturday, same time. You can always get in touch with me at diane@weCanPrepare.org. Again, have a great day.